strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 30th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. No watermelon today. I'm just going to stick with water, but there's plenty of watermelon in the Big Brother house, so we'll be fine. There's no shortage here.
Is it at least cold water?
Of course. Who drinks warm or lukewarm water? That's a no bueno in my books.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's got to be cold watermelon as well. So
always.
Yeah. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. It was day 72 in the house. Really getting up there.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot going on prior to the eviction. Pretty quiet day.
Yeah. Safe to say, you know. This has been a week where I feel like for the first time in a while, it was kind of set in stone. We kind of knew where everything was going. They knew where everything was going. The biggest discussions were, I wonder how much people are going to love me and cheer for me. And I hope people don't boo and get mad at Nicole for doing what she has to do, because I'm Nick and I care about people, allegedly.
Mm. Yeah. Nick's response to hearing that his condom pitch didn't work was mostly just like, what? But it was like the best pitch ever. No, that makes no sense. And that's about it.
Yeah. While I have learned through TV, condoms work only 97% of the time. Ooh. Nick should have known that his condom pitch would not work 100% of the time. That was a horrible, horrible thing to do. The only protection that gave was the assurance that he's going to be out of the house. So zing, zing, zing.
Yeah. All right. So Nick is evicted unanimously, 5-0. And the eviction was not canceled. It was no prank. Nick is gone. He is sent to the jury. And we had an announcement that next week will be a double eviction, which it's a bit strange, Puya.
It is. It is. Watching all of us try and theorize last night how this is going to play out was really interesting for me. But I truly didn't expect to see a double eviction. I was one of the ones early on last week who said this could be a prank on all of us. This week could mean nothing. Ultimately, it worked. But then to also get a double eviction was weird, because my argument was if they want a double eviction, they got to figure something out by keeping everyone in. So this would be the perfect time to do so. So now I don't really know what we're going to do. I think it comes down to what Melissa kind of touched on last night, which is we're not going to get that truncated week. We're not going to get that quick week in there. Maybe it's going to be a full week, but crazier things have happened. So I don't know how this is going to play out, though.
I mean, from my perspective,
hit me.
We're looking at a schedule here, and they have the option. They could just slow one of those weeks down that was normally sped up. They could put in a reset that everybody hates. Certainly doesn't seem like we're getting a buyback at this point. It didn't happen this week. They didn't announce it for next week. At the end of next week, six people will be in the jury. And then by the end of the week after that, there'll be seven people. That's a lot of people for a buyback. So not looking like that's going to happen. But then there is another option. Just do your schedule like regular. Run out of people. And then, you know, you used to just let the final two be in the house for a week and then have the jury question them on the not live show. I mean, that seems like a pretty nice option to me. I mean, that's kind of like a win-win-win-win-win-win, right?
Yeah. W's across the board. I would like that. I would like that a lot. And then it allows us to get all the things we complain about every finale of, like, there wasn't enough time. These questions really meant nothing. This didn't really work out well. That would give them the opportunity to have all that. It would give the final two the opportunity to sit there and kind of stew a little bit more, give them a little bit more time, allow them to build arguments that could be at least contested in some kind of way. I would be here for that. And then they could do what I miss or I want more of on the finale, which is give us the reaction shots, show the footage of stuff and have them look at it and react to them. So it would make the finale a little less intense, but I think it would make the finale more fun and we will get all the intensity in the week to come. So I think that's a win. I would sign me up for that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one to get your hopes up, but actually I am that person, but I don't get my hopes up. So I'm not expecting this, but I mean, I think they wanted Tyler to win last year, and I think they knew that if they had given this format some breathing room, that he probably would have. So I feel like maybe they're smart enough to know that they should change it.
It'd be interesting if this is like the Survivor 32 format of like, okay, well, this winner happened, let's switch up the final tribal council. Now it's like, okay, Tyler was almost there. We got Casey. She got this horrible tattoo. Let's make better decisions here. Maybe. I don't know. Listen. As long as there's no damn reset button in that house, sign me up for whatever comes up. I just don't want that reset button in the house. I'll take anything else.
You know what? I'll prefer a reset to a buyback at this point. But
yeah, well, this is me thinking the buyback's not happening in any way, yeah, shape, or form. So like, that's worst case good Ontario. Call. Yeah, fingers crossed.
So Nick ends up being evicted here by a 5-1 vote, or sorry, 5-0 vote. He heads out and he talks to Julie. His exit interview with Julie on the show was kind of whatever. But the extended interview, he talked a lot about his jury preferences. Very important stuff here. He says he's rooting for Nicole. He does love Tommy, but his excuse was a cop out. He's not a fan of that. He was mad at Cliff, but he understands. So he's not mad at Cliff anymore. He does hope that Jackson or Holly win the game. So it's looking like Nicole, Jackson, or Holly. Those are definitely getting his votes. But then probably Cliff above Tommy, Christy, or Jess. He says in particular about Christy that he does not like her and anything that she does, and that he is going to go to the jury house and make sure that Christy is 0-3 with him, Sis, and Jack. He wants to make sure that she does not have those three jury votes. He is very anti-Christy, it seems.
Yeah. Given that we got a full week of how his powers of persuasion are, I don't really think that he's going to be capable of making an 0-3. It's going to be a 1-2. He's going to be the only one that believes his own nonsense. But at the same time, this is kind of like the kind of energy that you come into the jury hating someone. It could play out. It could work out. What does interest me in all of this is that I think more and more what I really kind of really want to see is a Holly Jackson final two. I think that is a very interesting one coming up here. I think right now, if I'm looking at the jury makeup, it's a 2-2 for those two. So if that plays out and it looks like it could, I'd be very intrigued with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think something to remember is that Jack went to the jury house really not fond of Christy. Remember, he was wanting to turn on Christy at the time because that whole blow up happened and he blamed Christy for it. He went to the jury house blaming Christy. Sis also didn't like Christy, but then because she spent so much more time in the house with her, eventually came back around on her. So I would imagine that between Jack and Sis, there's already a bit of like, do we like Christy? Do we not like Christy? I think if Nick comes into the jury house very anti-Christy, it definitely could help tip the scales if they haven't already been tipped in this already anti-Christy environment. And that's bad for Christy. I said last night on Twitter, too, that like Christy's biggest and best move in the game is going to be explained by Sis. And they talked about this on the podcast last night, but like Sis explaining your game, not a great thing for you. Now Nick is the next person to come in and he's like, yeah, she sucks. I hate her. We should not vote for her. I actually do feel like this is not looking great for Christy at the moment.
No, definitely. Since Taco Tuesday, things have been more and more downhill there. And then the same, I think the one saving grace for Christy is that if Tommy finds his way into the jury house, Tommy can be that swing team that she needs to kind of point things back into a positive direction for her. So maybe the best thing for Christy here is to lose her ride or die. So if that happens, she'd be in a better spot for it.
Yes. All right. So then we get to the HOH competition and it's a wall. And they've got these boards behind them that they're holding on to. And Jess is going to go out first. Puya, you're not going to be able to hear this, but I just wanted to let the audience know how this happened.
Good job, girl.
That was Jess falling from the wall. So in case you didn't hear it, I'm just making sure that you heard it here. It's so good.
That was very fun to watch. Very fun. I really thought when she started saying, I need to come off, I was like, okay, this is the Tamar Braxton moment. We're going to see it. And then it was more like just a jump. But it's one of those. So you know that song? I think it's called Shooting Stars. There's a meme of it where when someone jumps and they add that song and they kind of wiggle them in the air, that needs to happen. Someone on Twitter needs to put that. She does this really loud scream and then proceeds to talk about this fall for 30 minutes. Double the time she was up there, and still again when they got back in the house. So she hurt herself a little bit jumping off through the side. She was very mad that she didn't just go in knees first, which honestly, that would have been worse. Jess, I don't know why you would want to do that.
For me, it's the scream and then the thud at the end of the scream.
You're okay. Good job.
Oh man. So Jess was out first. Cliff actually held in for a while. Cliff ends up coming down after Jess, and then very shortly after Cliff comes Christy, and Christy is out, which was very surprising. Christy was holding on down below, which is not really where you want to be when it tilts forward. It's a fine place to be when it's upright, but when the wall tilts forward, your whole upper body is being, you know, weighed forward. And so when you're holding down at about your midsection, there's nothing holding your upper body up. And so that's it's not a great hinge point there. She never seemed to figure out that maybe she should hold a little higher. And she ends up coming down. And now it's Nicole, Tommy, and Jackson. Jackson's still in this competition.
Yeah, Jackson, who said middle of the competition that I picked the wrong competition to pee in. And it really did look like he was going to do it again. I was ready to see all the things go down, but maybe he did it when it rained like he planned to. I didn't see anything. So we're safe on no urine this competition.
Yes. Yeah, so Jackson, who is a very tall, very heavy guy, typically this kind of person, is not going to win this this kind of HOH, but he actually was able to get in a pretty solid position. He had his arms up behind him like this, which you can't see if you're listening, but they were right behind his head, and he was able to lock himself in place pretty well there. Tommy, being shorter, actually had a harder time because his arms were much higher up when he was trying to grab behind him. And then Nicole was kind of holding on, one arm on up and one arm on the side. Nicole was really solid for a while as well. But unfortunately, Nicole had hurt herself the day before and was in a bit of pain. And I think that at some point the pain started to creep in. You could see that she immediately got uncomfortable and started to like waver, and then unfortunately fell, which she was very upset about. She was crying on the mat, and she was crying a bit later. Like I think she really felt like this was her competition to win. And now it got screwed up.
Yeah, and I really thought it was hers to win as well, because like you said, the composure Nicole had throughout this whole thing, three people fell and Nicole was in the same position, eyes closed, just letting the competition go through, no movement, no anything. But then it went 0 to 100 when that pain kicked in, and you could tell she was not feeling too hot. And when she did fall, I think a lot of us were sad as well as Nicole. I really did think this was hers. Honestly, I thought it was coming in. I was like, it's Nicole or it's Tommy. And then after I saw how Nicole was doing, it's Nicole. It's like, it's done. We're getting that last person getting an HOH. But sadly, this wasn't it.
Yes. So now it's down to Jackson and Tommy. It did seem like Tommy was trying to talk to Jackson at a couple of points, but no real deal made here, I believe. And like I said, Tommy was in a much worse position being shorter, which is not usually how this competition goes. But Jackson was much more solid. You could see that Tommy was struggling, and then Tommy eventually does fall, meaning that Jackson is our new HOH. Now, something to note here, the difference between Cliff and Jackson was only about 14 minutes. So wasn't major here, but obviously very impressive win from Jackson. It's never happened before. But so when we try to like go to explain this, I think that one thing here is that this particular wall was actually it did actually benefit you to be a little bit taller because you could be in a much better position. And then also, I think it's down to like competition. Who is he competing against? Nicole, who normally would have done pretty well, was hurt. Tommy, just couldn't get a good position. I guess he was just not that great at this. Christy really messed it up. And then, Cliff and Jess were always going to have some trouble with this as well. So, you know, Jackson, he lasts about 50 minutes or so, which is kind of a short amount of time to win this competition, but ultimately you can't take it away from him. Jackson winning a wall comp is pretty crazy, and it is the fourth competition in a row that he has won. That he has in the last four competitions he's played in, he has won every single one of them. So very, very impressive stuff.
Very impressive. I mean, since the blow up, since day 44, every comp he's been in, he's won. That's pretty incredible. The wall being one of them is pretty incredible. I do think that it was this particular wall, the way the wooden planks were set up, made it hard for someone of a smaller stature. I think because I didn't see anyone try and do the James strategy of kind of squatting and holding, which usually lowers your center of gravity, makes it easier to stay up. But the handles weren't like parallel to each other. It wouldn't have been like the last one was the sideways one. So you couldn't really hold on to that the same way. So I think that was a factor here, too. But I'm not going to take anything away from Jackson. He really did win a wall comp as a big guy. We haven't seen that yet. And this is something you had talked about. If it was the swinging one where they're hanging, Jackson could do better in that one. Not a wall one. Here he is winning the wall HOH. So good on him.
There you go. And so I think what happened here was that there's a little like a peg that goes in between their legs when they're standing on the wall. So if they had tried to squat, that would have been in the way. So they weren't able to do that. So there you go. Jackson winning a wall comp. He is the new HOH, and having won the last five of six competitions that he's played in, if you include the field trip competition that he won. Obviously he lost Otev in between there, but still very, very impressive stuff from Jackson. So Jackson's the HOH. He talks to Holly. He did. Now, we talked about this. He mentioned many times he wanted to throw this competition. Not only was he one of the least likely to win this competition based on his build, but he also really wanted to throw it. So he talked to Holly about like, I did want to throw it, but I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to have Tommy target Cliff and Nicole. I didn't want. And this is what we had talked about the night before, where they were so confident that Jackson wanted to throw the F out of the competition. And then they were like, but we feel bad that we're leaving Cliff and Nicole out to dry. Like they're going to be targeted. We feel bad about it, but we got to look out after ourselves. And ultimately here, part of this at least comes down to like, they felt bad for Cliff and Nicole. So they decided they didn't want to let Tommy win the HOH, which saves their lives because Tommy would have targeted them.
Yeah. The martyr syndrome with Jackson is something we've seen throughout this season. And last night was no different. I did kind of feel like, you know, you're there, you're about to win. Is his ego going to be, can he put his ego aside and drop and like throw it? I don't know. But it does come down to the fact that he didn't want to do that. He's standing there looking at Nicole in tears and thinking, do I really want her to go away? No. So I'm going to win this for them. I'm going to do it for them. Like parents say they do things for their kids. I'm going to do it for Nicole and I'm going to do it for Cliff, but saving themselves in the process, not knowing yet. They'll probably find out later on down the line, especially once this double eviction rolls around, they'll maybe notice what's going on really, but it works out for them through their dumb actions.
So Jackson is going to talk to Cliff pretty briefly says, I didn't want to let Tommy target you, so on and so forth. He talks to Christy and she's in the shower and he says to Christy, so you're going up as a pawn. Jess is my target and I hope you know that you're going to be safe, but you do need to go up as a pawn. But don't worry, Jess is the target. And Christy's just in the shower, just giving him looks of absolute disgust, like, why? No. What?
Yeah, my favorite part of the Sunday episode is going to be her being like, well, I thought I paid the invoice. I was on the block. I did this for you guys. And Jackson be like, listen, I wasn't the prankster. You were on the block on Holly's Reign, but you still owe us one. That one invoice you got to pay is still coming up and you got to do it. But don't worry. Jessica is my target. Jessica
is his target. So that's what he says to Christy. Then he goes to Cliff. And he confirms the story. He tells Cliff, my plan, Christy and Jess on the block with Jess as my target. Now, there's a lot of talk on the internet about how dumb Jackson is for targeting Jess. I talked about this on Twitch last night. I've talked about it a little bit on Twitter. Let's get this very clear first. Jackson's reasons for targeting Jess are dumb. He believes Christy and Tommy will not come for him. He thinks that he is good with them. That's why he wants to target Jess. He thinks that by targeting Jess, he's leaving Tommy and Christy to target Cliff and Nicole. Cliff and Nicole to target Tommy and Christy. That's why he's targeting Jess. That's dumb. That's not true. If he knew that Christy was targeting him, he would target Christy. If he knew that Tommy was targeting him, he would put both Tommy and Christy on the block. Guarantee it. That being said, this misconception of his, in my opinion, is actually working out for him again, because I actually do think taking Jess out is the best move for Jackson. Not for the reasons he's doing it, but for other reasons. Other reasons being Jess, if she stays in the game, if Jackson takes out Christy, then Jess is no longer tied to Christy. Jess has nobody left. And that means that Cliff and Nicole can be like, hey, Jess, get over here. And now the final, you get to the final five, or you get to the final six, and it's Jackson, Holly, Tommy, Cliff, Nicole, and Jess. And Cliff, Nicole, and Jess are in a much better position if they're looking at things rationally and they're thinking about their best move moving forward. It's targeting Jackson and Holly, right? Like, they're the last couple left. You take out Jackson and Holly, and you have the numbers to do it. It's 3-2, and Jackson can't even compete in the next HOH. So you take out Jackson or Holly, and now now your odds are looking real nice.
Yeah, this is a theory. This is a point I've seen you discuss overnight. I do think you're not wrong. However, I think the way that Nicole and Cliff have themselves situated, they're winning no matter how this goes.
Oh yeah,
because like they're the winners, because their theory of Nicole and Cliff are going to go after Tommy and Christy, and Tommy and Christy are going to go after them is wrong, because Tommy and Christy would go after Jackson and Holly. Nicole and Cliff are going to be in the middle safe because both sides are going to go after each other. They're in the position that Jackson and Holly think they're going to be in. So that's a win already. And then there is something to be said about the fact that Jessica would be coming over to the Nicole and Cliff side. Definitely. I think then it's just a matter of, if they win power, are they going to be able to look Jackson in the eye after what Jackson did for them as the martyr and do it? That's a whole other debate. But mathematically speaking, numbers speaking, logically speaking, they win with Jessica in their laps. Nicole and Cliff, I'm talking about. So in a backwards kind of way, this does work out for Jackson to a degree. Now, do I think that it probably behooves him more to get rid of a Tommy or a Christy? Yes, because I think one of them is more likely to win and come after him. Whereas I feel like Jessica won the 1 week, and we haven't really seen any signs of Jessica coming in. Now, they don't know the double evictions coming up. That first HOH is usually good for anybody as a mental comp, and Jessica's strong in that, so that could work out there. But I don't know. It's not downright dumb. I can say that, even though my first inkling, my first feeling was, wow, you stupid. I don't think he's that stupid.
Again, I'll say this. From Jackson's perspective, yeah, it's real dumb. from the overhead, like bird's eye view perspective, I think it's the right move. I think that with Jess gone, it actually kind of forces Cliff and Nicole to choose Jackson and Holly, because if Cliff and Nicole want to betray Jackson and Holly, they have to do it by just siding with a different couple, Tommy and Christy, who are actually, in my view, more threatening than Jackson and Holly, because Jackson is terrible at mental comps. And mental comps are the ones that are coming up soon. So It actually does make sense for Cliff and Nicole to side with Jackson and Holly in the upcoming double eviction if Jess is gone. But if Jess is there and Christy is gone, then it kind of makes sense to take out somebody like Holly, leaving Jackson and Tommy to battle each other, because they almost have to. And then Jackson's easy to beat in mental comps. So I feel like, you know, but you are completely right as well, Puya, that either way this goes, this was the absolute best case result for Cliff and Nicole. I didn't even think this was possible when I was talking about the Stockwatch decisions earlier in the day. I was like, well, best case for them would be like a Jackson win, taking out somebody like Christy or Tommy or even Jess. But that's not going to happen. It's a wall. It's an endurance. So, you know, the Cliff and Nicole shares should be doing well this week, regardless of the outcome, as long as they are safe here, which they should be. They should be. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Jackson is going to continue to talk with Cliff. Cliff says he's fine with Jess and Christy on the block. He asks about Tommy. Jackson says, I don't want to put Tommy in danger. If Tommy goes, we're screwed as men.
As men.
That's another reason why Jackson wants Jess gone. She's targeting the males. Watch out for that.
Yeah. And he's given his word to Tommy that he wouldn't do it. And as we've learned throughout the season, the theme of this season is I'm a man of my word. I'm a woman of my word. I keep my word. So once you say that, it's kind of hard to break it in this house.
Cliff just offers some advice on how to handle things. He's being very supportive throughout the whole process. Jackson talks with Holly again. He fills her in on the plan. Holly wonders if Christy is the better target. She's worried about putting Christy up as a pawn, thinking that if they do that, then maybe she'll feel like she's already lived up to her end of the bargain by the time next week comes along. Newsflash, she felt like she lived up to her end of the bargain the second you told her that you were going to put her up as a pawn. She's been targeting you ever since. But Jackson would prefer to target Jess. She's targeting the males, so he wants Jess gone, and Holly agrees. But we've seen in the past that if Holly is kind of like, but what about this? That can sometimes happen, so it would not surprise me if the target did shift, especially because Cliff talks to Nicole. He lets Nicole know what Jackson's doing, and what he tells Nicole is, I don't want Jess to go. I want Christy to go. That's better for them. Again, great either way, but even better if they can keep Jess around. But he says, for now, we need to stay supportive. You know, we're on their team. They're worried that Jackson and Holly have some kind of other final four deal with Christy and Tommy. And so if they start pushing hard, then they might push Jackson and Holly away toward Tommy and Christy. So they need to be very careful about how they talk to Tommy or how they talk to Jackson and Holly. Cliff's ultimate logic is that, like, as long as we are, you know, supportive and whatnot, then they should choose us over Tommy and Christy, even if they do have a final four deal with them, because we're, quote unquote, easier to beat, which is good for us. So that's Cliff's plan for now. He's just going to stay supportive until the time comes when he feels a little more comfortable to start to push to get Christy evicted over Jess. Again, it would not surprise me if this targeting shifted a little bit, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah. I'm intrigued because I don't have a specific read on if Cliff or Nicole was to win the veto here. Would they try and use it to save Jessica, to force the hand to put Tommy on the block or not?
I don't think so. I think that they would. they would not use the veto, but they might want, they might be like, maybe it would give them a better position to be like, hey, maybe Christie is the bigger target. But I don't think that they would take Jess off the block like that.
Yeah.
And nor do I think it's worth it for them to do that, because that would just, that would, yeah, that would piss Tommy and, so that would piss, Jackson and Holly off, for no reason. Again, they're winning coming out of this week, even if Jess goes.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. They're fine. So, no reason to rock the boat here. Yeah. Jackson comes in and they talk with Jackson. Jackson explains his plan again. Nicole and Cliff do try to say like, yeah, you know, Jess or Christie, either one, they're both threatening. But Jackson doesn't really hear them. Mm-hmm. Nicole tries to push a little harder, but Jackson is really just like flat out ignoring Nicole. He's like, no, try this beef jerky. Try the beef jerky. No, it's not hot, I promise. Nicole's like, okay. Ah, it's really hot. It's like, well, I didn't think it was that hot. I don't know. And she's just like, you're not listening to me. So he talks about the plan. Then Jackson starts to talk about how, you know, I mean, we have the votes this week, no matter what. I mean, even if one of you went up, like, we'd have the votes to keep you. And then so he starts to think like, wait a minute, I wonder if, should we backdoor Jess? Like, use one of you as a pawn and backdoor Jess? And Cliff is like, no, I don't think that's a great idea. Think about it, right? Like, only one person's not playing in the veto, so backdooring is not... It's no use to backdooring anyone here. Nicole chimes in. She's like, hey, you're right. And also, if you leave one of Christie or Jess off the block, then they can win the veto and take the other one down. And then they're both off the block. And now it's what, like Tommy and Cliff? Like, that's not what you want, Jackson. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But replacement nominee. I mean, even if I put one of you up as the replacement nominee, we'd have the votes. They're like, yeah. And Cliff is like, yeah, I mean, look, if you want to put me up, that's cool. As a replacement nominee, I trust you guys. Jackson was really putting it out. Jackson was trying to get this response, and Cliff definitely bites down here. Again, I think Cliff's logic being, gotta keep them happy. I doubt Cliff wants to be on the block here, but it was very clear what Jackson was trying to get out of them. And you know, Jackson's going to make whatever choice he's going to make, regardless of what Cliff says. Because again, they know Jackson already told Cliff he does not want to risk Tommy on the block. And so I think that, Cliff is a little bit worried about too much pushback, which has definitely hurt Christie in the past. So Cliff is like, look, if you need a pawn after the veto, replace, not initial pawn, but like after the veto, okay. You know, I'm willing. I trust you guys. They do have the votes. You know, it would be Holly and Nicole. Jackson breaks the tie. It would be fine. You know,
it's not a great feeling. I think Tommy needs to be given praise for the fact that he's completely snowed Jackson. Like, the fact that this guy is willing to go out of his way to put up someone that he doesn't want any, like, to get rid of. Because he believes by keeping Tommy off the block, he has Tommy, when we know full well, if Tommy wins that HOH Thursday night, he's putting Jackson up on the block right away. It's incredible. Like, that's good gameplay from Tommy. I really think that in the middle of all the praise we're giving to Cliff and Nicole and Jackson for doing what he's doing, Tommy is silently doing his own thing still as well.
I don't even know what it is that he's doing, because he puts in a tiny bit of work and it runs miles.
Yeah.
So Cliff also does mention, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see Christie go home. He mentions that she talked to him about targeting big targets, making big swings. He's trying to hint that she was saying that she would go after them. And I mentioned that a couple days ago. But again, Jackson just glosses right over it. Doesn't even listen to what Cliff is saying. So I have a feeling that when push comes to shove, Cliff will be, starting to push a little harder toward Christie and against himself on the block if it comes to that. But for right now, he's doing doing his best to appease Jackson and Holly and seeing where the veto is going to shake out. Holly does join them and they reiterate the plan. They don't think that Tommy would use the veto on Christie if he won. Nicole says, I think he would. But everyone else is like, nah, he wouldn't piss people off. He wouldn't piss us off like that. He's Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to, that'll be a very interesting outcome if that was to happen, because I would be very here to see how that would play out. And if he does use it, get all the reaction shots, that's a good time. I do think that another reason why Jackson, I think Jackson just zeroed in on the idea that these two sides are going to go after each other. So anything that Cliff brings me is Christie just feeding him nonsense because Christie's going to go after them. So I do believe that as the week goes on, this will become more and more evident. I'm sure of it. But for right now, Jackson just believes that he's in such a good position. He didn't even need this HOH, and he did it to save his buddies, and he's fine no matter what come next week.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Christie and Tommy are talking about how the hell do we get Cliff and Nicole out this week? Well, Tommy, you'd need to win the veto and use it on me. Yep. Okay. Yep. That's definitely happening. Christie says she'll throw the veto to Tommy so that he can use it on her and they can get Cliff and Nicole on the block. So that would be funny. Yeah. If she actually threw the veto to Tommy so that he could use it when Tommy wouldn't have gotten the block anyway. But I have a feeling that Tommy will talk to them and they'll tell Tommy that they would put up Cliff if the veto was used. And so that will actually give them free rein to win the veto, to have Christie. In fact, at that point, I think Tommy would probably throw the veto to Christie in some ways. But regardless, it's very difficult to see a scenario where Cliff or Nicole go home this week because the votes are very locked in here. Christie does say, you know, at this, Jackson and Holly have to go on the block next to each other. They have to. We have to target them. Tommy agrees. Like they need to be targeted. So they are pretty locked in there. Holly talks to Jackson again. Holly says she just loves Tommy so much. She was talking to Tommy. Tommy said he wanted to be more involved in the strategy talk this week. And that she's like, that's not what I want. Because I don't want to have to lie to him. I don't want to lie to Tommy. I don't want to betray Tommy. I don't want to put Tommy up. I love Tommy. What is wrong with you?
What has he done for you? What makes you feel this way? Like you said, he puts in baby amounts of effort and they pay off like he's been doing nonstop work for 3 months. It's pretty incredible. I don't know how he does it.
It's like, listen to this clip between the two of them. She literally says, like, I don't want to lie to Tommy. I don't want to betray Tommy. I just love Tommy so much. I don't want to lie to him. I just Tommy, Tommy, Tommy. When I look at him, I see home.
What?
Now, Jackson does agree he doesn't want to betray Tommy. He never wants to put Tommy on the block. He loves Tommy. He doesn't want to lie to Tommy. He doesn't want to betray Tommy. But they shook Cliff and Nicole's hands. They did not shake Tommy and Christie's hands. I have a really hard time seeing Jackson and Holly actually betraying Cliff and Nicole when they've got a handshake. Yeah. So we'll see.
A firm handshake. That's all Jackson really needs.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
So it's looking like Christie and Jess nominations. The veto will be somewhat important in terms of will it keep the nominations the same or will somebody end up going on the block as a pawn? Will that person be Cliff or will it be Tommy? Either way, it's probably the other person on the block that will end up going home, either Jess or Christie. Most vetoes at this point in the game tend to be pretty physical, so I would give odds to Jess probably not winning them, especially Cliff is predicting BB Comics. I think that's probably my best prediction as well. I think BB Comics happened around the same time last year, and they certainly love their BB Comics. So that I do think Jess might actually have, that might be one of Jess's better veto competitions if she wants to win, just because there's so much puzzle element. But it has gotten more and more physical over the years, so we'll have to see about that. But overall, we're looking at, very likely it's either Jess or Christy leaving. Very hard to see that changing this week. The intrigue could be if they both stay on the block, can the target change from Jess to Christy?
Yeah, I think that's where we'd be making the most bank on entertainment, is if the target starts to either move this way or that way. The other competition that we haven't seen that could benefit a Jessica is the hide and go veto, because you simply hide your veto and then you just proceed to destroy the house. So there's a lot less movement there. All you need is a good hiding spot, or you need a good strategy of continuing to move it around, and you're in a good spot there. So that's another one that could benefit her, although I don't know if we're going to see that at this point.
It's true. Theoretically, that would be good for Jess. However, hide and go veto, I've always felt, is easily gameable with a big enough group, and finally it's coming together that way. Last night, Cliff, Nicole Jackson, and Holly talked about like how it could be hide and go veto, and because it could be that, they want to get together at some point today and discuss where they're going to hide their veto so that they know where they're all hidden. So if Nicole is playing in the veto, if Cliff is playing in the veto, if all four of them are playing in the veto, then it will be four against two, and those four will know where theirs are hidden, and so they won't find that those vetoes, and it will be much easier for them to gang up on the other two.
That's true. I guess this is kind of why we don't see the stay fold veto anymore.
Yes.
Once it gets a little broken, you can't really use it. The fun thing here, which obviously won't happen because this isn't the genius, but it would be fun if you find someone's and you swap it out with yours. Like if, let's say, Jessica finds Cliff's and just swaps it out with her own, and then they find Cliff somewhere else. That would be fun. But again, that takes like 4D level chess, and we're playing 2D chess here. So none of that's going to go down.
Well, also, like if you found it, it will prevent the one person who put theirs there from finding it, because they'll think it's theirs, but there's still another four people.
That's true. This is on the level that she knows all four of them are gaming this. So there's a lot that has to go on for this fantasy of mine to come true, so it won't happen. But it was nice in the moment, and I wanted to live it out with you guys a little bit.
All right. Well, there you go. Anything else you wanted to bring up here, Puya?
Nothing worth noting, but I will note them. So the music for this week, they're like, Jackson, what do you think you're going to use? Like, I think I'm going to get aggressive rap. So they gave him Migos. He has Migos. He's got ad libs this week. That's what he's going to be getting. That's going on. The other thing is, I asked last night on Twitter, how many watermelons do you think Jackson's going to get? Jackson got hella watermelons, to the point where they hid two watermelons in his bed that he found at night when he took the pillows out to go to bed.
Under his pillows.
It's like, what kind of hotel service? You know, hotels put a little bit of chocolate, not Big Brother. Big Brother gives you a whole damn watermelon under your pillow. That's nice.
There you go. All right. So that's what we've got for you this morning. Thanks for joining us. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. And then, of course, Sunday, we will be live to recap the Sunday night episode of the show. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can find Puya at Puyaism. That's what we got for you. So, just watch out for falling, and we'll see you next time.